جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي يجيبني حين أناديه ويستر علي كل عورة وأنا أعصيه ويعظم النعمة علي فلا أجازيه. نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إلها واحدا أحدا فردا صمدا قيوما، نؤمن له بالربوبية ونقر له بالعبودية. من يهدي الله فهو المهتدي، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله، أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد، كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين والأوصياء والصالحين وعترة نبيك الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين والصفوة من أصحابه الخيرين ومن تبعهم بإحسان وإيمان إلى يوم الدين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعان فليستجيبوا لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون. صدق الله العلي العظيم.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Some people in the society, when it comes to the prayers and dua and asking Allah for help, they devalue and discount this concept, and they say this is contrary. If we depend on the dua, then why should we work? There is no need for amal, for work, for sa'i, for struggle. As long as you are struggling, as long as you are working hard, then you're going to be successful. Why do we need to pray? As long as you are a good student, working hard, then you will succeed. Why do you need to pray and ask for God's help? As long as you are, if you are a patient, as long as you are going and seeing the good doctor and, you know, taking your medicines regularly and following the doctor's instructions, why do you need to pray? Things will take its own course and you will succeed. If you are asking for income and money, as long as you have a good job and you are not delinquent in your behavior, you are responsible, you go to your office, why do you need to pray? Your income is going to reach you. So what is the answer on these arguments? My brothers and sisters, when it comes to dua, we have three positions here. When it comes to asking Allah for help, either spiritual help or physical help. Physical help being a job. You are trying to find a job. Or you have a job and you want to maintain this job. You don't want to lose it. You don't want to show up one day and they lay you off. They tell you, we don't need you after 20 years, 30 years of service. Now they don't need you. Or you have some ailment and you are asking Allah for healing. Or you need a son, a daughter, a child, and you are asking Allah for help. These are physical. And sometimes the needs are spiritual, emotional. You ask Allah for guidance. I have everything. Physically I am okay, financially I am stable, but I need your guidance, which is more important than these physical needs. Now, do we need to call upon him? Do we need to ask him? Do we need to bother him sometimes and tell him, please, pay attention to me, I need you? There are three positions here. Two of them are wrong, one of them is right. The first position is that someone says, I will only depend on the ghaib, the unseen, God's help. I get sick, I would never go and see a doctor. God is the healer. I go bankrupt, penniless, Allah has treasures. Allah says in the Quran, khaza'in, treasures, endless. His treasury is boundless and endless, does not end. So why should I go and work? Why should I ask for a loan? He has to send me money. So this is one argument that some people have. They depend on al-awamilul ghaybiyyah, the ghayb factors. Ghayb factors means what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides. And then they say there is no need for to pursue natural or a human cause. There is no need for that. Definitely this dua is not going to be answered. And Allah is not going to listen. Allah is not going to waste his time listening to such person who thinks that when it comes to money, God will send him a check. When it comes to health, even if he does not see a doctor, God is going to heal him. When he needs knowledge, he does not need to go to school. God is going to inspire him. You know, he's sleeping in under his carpet, under his blanket at home until 5 p.m. and God will induce knowledge in his brain or mind. That does not work. Definitely that does not work. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when it comes to the dua, the hadith says, أَيُّهَا الْعَبْدُ, O the servant of God, لَا تَطْلُبْ مَا يَكُونَ, don't ask Allah what is not going to happen. Don't. God would not waste his time listening to you. Don't ask Allah sitting here doing nothing, God send me $10 million. God would not send you, not even 10 single dollars, let alone millions of dollars. God says, وَأَنْ لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى وَأَنَّ سَعْيَهُ سَوْفَ يُرَى. You need money? Go and work. Go work hard. You need children? Go and get married. And inshallah, Allah will give you. Will give you children. You will raise children. You need a school, education? This is the school here. You have to study. You need health? Take care of your health. Nothing comes free. لَا تَسْأَلْ مَا يَكُونَ. Do not ask Allah things that He's not going to answer you. Because you are not doing anything. Allah says it's a partnership between me and you. Partnership. Show me that you are sincere, you work hard. I will show you my mercy and my bounties. I gave this example last night. Our kids, they come back home with homework. And parents are helping them. Now, should the father or the mother write the homework for them? Because they feel that, you know, my son is exhausted, he's tired. So I will write it for him. I put the answer. Would you do that for your son? You would not do that. You destroy your son and your daughter's future. Yes, you guide them, you help them, you encourage them, you supervise them. But you don't do the homework for them. Allah does not do the homework for us. Allah says, I have given you brain, this powerful intellectual ability, smartness, intelligence, physical power. I want you to solve your problems yourself. Yes, I am looking at you. I am supervising you. I am not leaving you alone. قَالَ إِنَّنِي مَعَكُمَا أَسْمَعُ وَأَرَى. Allah said to Musa and Harun, Moses and Aaron, go to Pharaoh. I will back you. I will support you. But I want you to go to him with your own feet. Walk to his palace. Deliver this message to him. And I am standing behind you. أَسْمَعُ وَأَرَى. I see. I watch you. So this is one type, that someone depends on the dua but not amal, forgets about amal. does not do any sa'i, any struggle, any striving, any amal, any effort, and he keeps asking Allah. Allah would not listen to him. The second example, which is also wrong, that someone claims that I depend only on a human factor and physical factor. I don't need the dua. I don't need the dua. I don't need God to stand with me and support me. This is again, this is a form of shirk, polytheism. Because we believe in the Islamic monotheism, in the tawheed, the oneness of God, the Islamic ideology. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala huwa al-mu'athir al-wahid fil kawn. God is the only effective power in this universe. He is the only effective power. Now he bestows part of his power on us so we can function in this life. Meaning, what do I mean by this sentence? That if God does not give permission to me to walk, I would never be able to walk. If God does not give his blessing and permission to me to think or to open my eyes, I cannot do that by myself. It's all under his power, his authority, mashi'ah. The term is used in the Quran, mashi'ah. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. You cannot do anything without his seal of approval and signature. If he does not put his signature on anything, he would never be able to move forward. So we need the dua. So if someone says, no, I can take care of it. I can do everything. I don't need God's interference in my life. Some people think this way. Why should I pray? Everything is smooth and everything is, you know, I'm happy in my life. I don't need God's. Those poor people, the homeless, they need God's help. We don't need God's help. This is what many people think. But then when there is a tragedy in their life, immediately says, oh God, where are you? Allah says, فَإِذَا رَكِبُوا فِي الْفُلْكِ. When they are in the middle of the ocean and they are dancing, they have party, dancing up and down like monkeys, everything is fine, drinking, all of a sudden there are huge waves. Oh God, Jesus, help me! You know. One day I was coming back from the Middle East with Lufthansa from Frankfurt to LAX, and the flight attendants were giving alcohol and people were happy. Suddenly we had turmoil. Oh Jesus, Abu! All of them became religious at that time. No more drinking, no more laughing, no more, Jesus, Jesus, help me. This is our weak nature. This is how we understand religion. At the time of weakness, we understand God. We don't understand him at the time of power. We forget about him. So this is the second time that someone says, I depend on a human factor, natural factor. I don't need God's interference. This is again wrong. The third opinion is the correct one. That Allah says, this is a joint venture between me and you. Whether it's a marriage, whether it's a graduation, whether it's a school, whether it's buying a home, whether it's a process of healing or recovery or surgery or whatever. Whatever you have in your life. Do your work and I do my work. Do your portion and I do my portion. They work together because we need Allah's emanation, al-faith al-ilahi. Faith, emanation, pouring down on us his mercy. If he stops that mercy, we perish. وَمَا بِكُمْ, the Quran says, وَمَا بِكُمْ بِالنِّعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. Every blessing you have is from him, not from you. Every single blessing, every single success you have in your life, do not attribute that to your intelligence, to your smartness, to your parents, to your saving, to your estate. Don't attribute that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا بِكُمْ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. Allah bestows this mercy and he says, I want you to work hard. All the students work hard and pray. They both work. They both. We need both. Go see the doctor. Go see the doctor. Follow the doctor's instructions and pray at the same time. Searching for income. You need income. Allah is the Razib. He's the sustainer. But you also have to work. Allah Himself, He works. Allah who's Ghani, He works Himself. He listens to us all the time. لا تأخذ. We take a break, He doesn't take a break. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. Does not even sleep, does not rest. Tell me which prophet God sent to the humanity and that prophet sat at home and he did not do anything. Which prophet? They were working constantly. Workaholic. The prophets were workaholic. Working all the time. All the prophets. All the righteous. They have to work. We have to produce. And then we wait for the result from Allah. Therefore, coming to this question. If my life is smooth, do I really need to pray? Yes, I still need to pray and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes. Because it's a combination of the human factor here, human endeavor, human sa'i work, and divine's emanation, al-favor ilahi. Combination of both. We need His help, we need His approval, we need His guidance. At the same time, we have a role to do. So yes, we need the dua. قُلْ مَا يَعْبَأُ بِكُمْ رَبِّي لَوْلَا دُعَاءُكُمْ. Sometimes humans become arrogant. When there is achievement, he has achievement in his life, he thinks it's due to him, only to him. He forgets about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, it's me. I gave you the power, the intelligence, the tawfiq. I removed obstacles from your way. Now if those people who are successful and they think they are completely independent from God and they don't need God, if they are true in their argument, they don't need God, why sometimes they have disasters in their life? Can they achieve everything they dream of? They can't. Definitely they can't. This means that we are in need to Allah. The Quran says, Ya ayyuhan nas, O mankind, antumul fuqara'u ila Allah. Indeed, you are the one who are in need to God. In need. Antumul fuqara'u ila Allah. But when it comes to Him, Allahu huwa al-ghaniyyul hamid. Ghani. Free of all needs. Free of all needs. Allah is self-subsisting and free of all needs. Allah is the only sovereign power in this universe. All other powers, they need Him. The only independent power in this entire universe, the only sovereign power in this entire universe is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every other creature in this universe lives by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by Allah's life and by Allah's grace and by Allah's help and by Allah's constant help and subsistence. Allah will give, and sustenance Allah will give. Allah is the provider. Allah does provide for all people and He does not forget about them. So yes, we need to pray. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي. Just a short story. Yusuf alayhi salam, when he was in the prison in Egypt, Yusuf, Allah says, إِنَّهُ, when Allah speaks about Yusuf alayhi salam, He gives him this title. He says, إِنَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا الْمُخْلَصِينَ. Joseph is one of my selected servants. عبادنا المخلصين, the chosen one, the elite. Basically, he's the elite. المخلص, this term in Arabic, the Prophet ﷺ says, المخلص, the chosen one, the elite, means الذي لم يتعلق قلبه بغير الله تعالى. His heart was never attached to anything in this universe but Allah. This is mukhlas, chosen. And it's not easy. Our hearts are attached to our business, to my house, to my food, to my money, to my children, to my this, to my that. Yusuf alayhi salam, he puts God first. His heart is only attached to Allah. Others are artificial things. Now, when he was in the prison, and one of those prisoners were about to be released and forgiven, وَقَالَ لِلَّذِي ظَنَّ أَنَّهُ نَاجٍ مِّنْهُمَ اذْكُرْنِي عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ. Joseph, who does not forget Allah for a second, he turned to this man who was about to be released. He said to him, please, when you stand before the king tomorrow, mention that there is someone wrongly imprisoned, which is me. Bring my case to the king. Let him look into my case. وَقَالَ لِلَّذِي ظَنَّ أَنَّهُ نَاجٍ مِّنْهُمْ اذْكُرْنِي عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ. Is this shirk? Yusuf could not turn to Allah, say, Ilahi, I am here. You don't forget. The king may forget, but you don't forget. No, this was not shirk. At the same time, Yusuf was praying to Allah, but again he was pursuing what? What did I say earlier? Natural cause. Natural causes. Human causes. Human factors. Human interference. So with God interference and a human interference. Some people, they are under attack. They say, I don't defend myself. God will defend me. You have to defend yourself too. You have to defend yourself. We don't live in a society of angels or saints. Nowadays, suspicion prevails, everything prevails in this life and every single mind. So you have to protect yourself. Yes, God will protect you, but your side also is important. Your work is also important. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wal asri inna al-insana lafi khusrin illa alladhina amanu wa amilu s-salihat. وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد وصل اللهم وسلم على خلفاء نبيك وأهل بيته وأحبته علي أمير المؤمنين وقائد الغر المحجلين وعلى البضعة الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين وعلى سبطي نبي الرحمة وسيدي شباب أهل الجنة الحسن والحسين عليهم السلام وعلى علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي أجل الله تعالى فرجه وسهل مخرجه وجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه عباد الله أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحج أشهر معلومات فمن فرض فيهن الحج فلا رفث ولا فسوق ولا جدال في الحج وما تفعلوا من خير يعلمه الله وتزودوا فإن خير الزاد التقوى واتقون يا أولي الألباب صدق الله العلي العظيم The Hajj season is kicking off and many of the pilgrims are heading to the Hajj this year inshallah, and in our community also we have some righteous members who are heading to Hajj, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take them there and bring them back safe inshallah with the forgiveness of all the sins inshallah, and with a different spirit, renewed spirit and renewed commitment to their families and to their faith and to their communities. But Hajj, my friends, has zahir and batin, the exterior and the interior. The exterior is what you see on television, the tawaf, crowded tawaf. You see the sa'i, you see the jamarat, you see people standing in Arafat, sleeping in Muzdalifah, you know. This is the exterior of it. But the interior is something completely different. And that is the essence of Hajj and the spirit of Hajj, which is the spirit of the spirit of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Submission to Him. لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهِ. When it comes to the sacrifice, to one act of during the Hajj, the sacrifice of Mina. لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهِ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَكِنْ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. O Hujjaj, when you sacrifice, you know, a camel or a cow or a sheep, God is not going to enjoy the meat and He makes barbecue for Himself. Nothing of these are reaching Him. What is reaching Him, the spirit of submission that you carry. He looks at the spirit of submission. Submit to me, listen to me, obey me. This is the spirit of Hajj. This is the spirit of Hajj. If we can carry this spirit, then the Hajj accepted. But if we go with a different spirit of complaining always, spirit of arguing, spirit of disrespect for others, spirit of arrogance, the Hajj would not do any good, even if you go with the best group and with the most expensive. Hajj is a transition, spiritual, mental, ethical transition. Sometimes I see things in Hajj that really breaks my heart. You know, some people, they pay now in some groups in America and get $25,000 to go to Hajj per person. $25,000. And this is exactly what the Prophet said. Prophet said, one day, some of my ummah, they're going to go to Hajj lin nuzha, for fun. Not for Hajj, for fun. For vacation. To have fun in Hajj. Sometimes I see when we finish the jamarat in Mina, the big jamarat, next to it, just 100 meters, less than 100 meters, you see they are preparing the lunch. Believe me, this lunch, as if you are sitting in Hawaii, you know. Different types of foods, you know. Meat, chicken, fish, this, five types of rice. For who? For His Majesty now. His Majesty meaning the Hujjaj, not the king. When he comes back from Ramya Jamarat, so he finds this sufra, huge types of food, feast, ready for him. What did you do if you want to eat all this food? Why do you go to Hajj? Why do you spend your money? Hajj is about self-control, controlling the stomach, controlling the desire, controlling the needs. Even in Arafat is a day of supplication. Arafat, we have to survive on the minimum on that day, on the minimum, so we can remember that the Akhirah, the day of Qiyamah, the day of judgment. You can see the feast, people are busy eating and laughing, and you know. Is this the spirit of Hajj? This is what exactly the Prophet says. سَيَأْتِي عَلَى زَمَانٍ سَيَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ يحج أغنياء أمتي للنزهة. A time will come for my nation, for my community, the rich one out of them, they go to Hajj for vacation, for fun, for entertainment, not for Hajj, not to change his spirit, not to be more humble, not to be more considerate and more giving and more thoughtful and more generous. No, vacation. This type of Hajj is not going to increase people's faith. Believe me. It's not going to increase. We have to, when we go to Hajj, we have to be prepared, morally prepared, physically prepared, mentally prepared, with our intention. Hajj has been summarized in one sentence. A trip of slavery. If you are ready to be slave to Allah, join. If not, stay at home. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein would walk all this distance, 450 kilometers from Medina to Mecca, 25 years. Non-stop, 25 years. And they walk. And they have horses, they have camels, they have other means of transportation. People say to them, Ya Abna Rasulullah, ride with us. They say, Alayna ala anfusina. We made a pledge, a vow upon ourselves, and nahujja mashiyin, that we go to God on feet. We don't ride. This is submission. Those are the people who enjoy the Hajj. Hajj has a message, but not all people get that message. They come back empty-handed. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bestow this ma'rifah and this knowledge on us. So when we go to Hajj and Umrah, we learn inshallah. We try to learn and we come back with a different understanding, different spirit and different resolutions inshallah. My brothers and sisters, on October 19th, we have in Newport Beach, we have this annual hunger walk to cure the cancer. They collect money. So $1 per person. They ask every congregation, the Christians, Muslims, other congregations, to donate $1 per person. Sister Iman is with us today, and you can give her the money or give to Brother Mushtaba. He will pass it to Sister Iman. She represents us with the Interfaith Council of Newport, Costa Mesa and Irvine, and she will pass it to them. And on the same date, inshallah, we're going to have the Eid Carnival on Sunday, October 19th, here in Irvine. You will receive the details later on, inshallah ta'ala. Allahumma akhfir lil mu'mineen wal mu'minat wal muslimin wal muslimat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat tabi'in lahumma baynana wa baynahum bil khayrat. إنك مجيب الدعوات إنك غافر الخطيئات إنك ماحي السيئات وجاعلها حسنات اللهم وحد كلمة المسلمين على الخير والبر والصلاح والتقوى يا أرحم الراحمين من على مرضانا بالشفاء والعافية وعجل في فرج سيدنا وإمامنا صاحب العصر والزمان وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات والشهداء ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.